Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Well, we've been on this series about leadership, Christian leadership, and what does that look like from a Christian perspective? Jesus told us we're not to lead like the world does, flaunting authority, abusing power, but rather to lead with love. And Jesus modeled leadership by serving others. So the name of this series is Leader Equals Servant. And Jesus made it clear for us he was the greatest servant, and he challenged us to serve others in the same way that he served us. In this teaching, he showed us that leadership, this is what leadership is truly about. So if you missed any part of the series, you can go back and listen to it on our website or on our podcast. Our podcast is back up. There was a little bit of trouble for a little while, but you can check it out. It is back up, and we're excited about that. I want to start today right here in 1 Peter. If you'll go there with me, 1 Peter 4. And it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So each of us has a gift. We have all been given gifts by God. It's something very special that God does when he creates us and he forms us. He designed us with intention, and there is a gift or gifts inside of you. There's nobody sitting in this room that God has not given you gifts. It's built in to your design. It's like a baby. When they're born with a unique fingerprint. You were born with unique gifts that God gave you. They're not just accidental. They're not just happenstance, but God baked them into the design. Psalm 139:14 tells us that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So God made you. You're not a mistake. You're born with gifts inside of you, and there is a contribution that you have to the world around you. There's a contribution that God has created you to make to society. You were designed that way. How many believe that? That you were designed to give back, to have something to contribute to those around you. I hope you see that. I hope you see the value in yourself. God designed you for a reason. God designed you for a purpose. And God has equipped you with gifts. Maybe you're not fully familiar with them yet, but God has equipped you with gifts to contribute to the world around you. There's a role that you're meant to play in God's design for mankind. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that a privilege that we have? When you come to Christ, you also receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you a helper. And so that helper is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit puts his power on the very thing you were created and designed to do and supercharges the gifts or brings alive or activates the gifts that God placed inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will also add additional gifts on top of what God has already placed inside of you. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So now Peter tells us that these gifts should be used to serve one another. What a powerful thought. The gifts God designed you with and the gifts the Holy Spirit stirs up in you are for the good of others. Will you say that with me? For the good of others. Say it one more time. For the good of others. Your gifts are for others. Think about a plumber. He has a great gift. He can do great things. But that gift is for the good of the community. Yes, he can work at plumbing issues at his house, but for the most part, he's going to spend the majority of his time outside of his own house helping other people with their plumbing issues and needs. So every person who's tried a DIY project and it went sideways and had to call a professional said, amen. Right? So thank God for plumbers and electricians and tradesmen that can step in and help when we've botched up things. Here's a thought to sit with. Some of the greatest things God is going to give you are for somebody else. Can you handle that? Are you mature enough to realize that some of the greatest gifts God is going to give you are for somebody else? God is making you someone else's miracle. Think about that. It's the opposite of the culture of this world. How can I use the things that I have to benefit me? Instead, God is saying, I'm putting amazing gifts inside of you, but it's for the benefit of someone else. The majority of this gift is for someone else. You're someone else's miracle. How many people can handle that? God gives you great gifts, and it's for the benefit of others in your life. But we have to be mature enough to allow God to give us something that we can steward, that it doesn't belong to me. Yes, it belongs to me, but it really belongs to God, and it belongs to others. And that's the way that we should look at these gifts. These gifts, they're my gifts, but they're really the gifts that God gave me, and they're really for other people. It's like Abraham said, he was blessed to be a blessing. God said, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to others. I'm going to bless other families through your family. We are stewarding gifts that God gave us, and we understand the most of these gifts that God gives us are for the benefit of others. The greatest gift God has given me is not for me. The greatest gifts God gives us are not for us. There are people God has placed in your life. There's people that God has placed in your circle of influence that are going to benefit so much from the gifts God has put in you. It takes growth to realize this. It takes spiritual growth to realize these gifts aren't for me. For the most part, these gifts are for others. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't hold on too tight. It might be for somebody else. God is making you someone else's blessing. And I'll tell you why that's okay. Because the kingdom of God is a win-win. While you're becoming someone else's blessing, someone else is becoming yours. Think about that. There's always a win-win exchange in the kingdom of God. So while you're someone else's miracle, someone else is your miracle. Someone else's gift set is going to benefit and be a blessing to you. We have to get out of the selfish culture that we're so often programmed in to take on this kingdom mindset that looks how to serve others. Because that's where the greatest blessings are. As I give the gift inside of me to someone else, I begin to sow. And what happens when I sow? What happens when I sow? I reap. So as I sow my gift into others, I'm going to reap other people sowing their gifts into me. Other people with gifts are going to become a blessing back to me as I bless others with my gift. So we tap into this kingdom principle of sowing and reaping, right? There's all these principles in the kingdom, they're interconnected, right? So I'm being obedient to this command and this principle to serve others with my gift. But as I serve others with my gift, I realize I'm sowing my gift into someone else. And then I'm going to reap a harvest of other people's gifts coming back to bless me. Sowing and reaping is this spiritual law. It's like a farmer that sows. He doesn't have to demand a harvest out of the soil. The soil just performs what the law is. The spiritual law is like that. Whenever you sow intentionally or unintentionally, you're going to reap, and that produces a harvest in your life. So as I serve others, others seek me out to serve me. As I bless others, others seek me out to bless me. And I don't bless others because I want some super blessing in my life, but I do it because I'm commanded to do that. That's the kingdom way. I don't serve others because I want a bunch of people serving me. I don't do that, but I do it because that's what Jesus said. But when I do serve others, when I do bless others, the spiritual law is the law of sowing and reaping. So as I am serving, others will come into my life to serve me. As I'm blessing, other people will come into my life to bless me. And it's not going to be equal, because that's how the kingdom of God works. It stacks. It works through multiplication. It works through sowing and reaping a harvest. So as I'm serving, then serving, a harvest of serving is coming to me. As I'm blessing, a harvest of blessing is coming to me. So that is the powerful kingdom dynamic. Amen? How many wants to sow serving in someone's life? How many would like to sow a blessing into someone's life, understanding how the kingdom works? We should look out. We should seek out opportunities to serve others. We should seek out opportunities to bless others. Why? Because we understand the law of sowing and reaping. There's always a harvest that comes from the sowing. And here's the big picture. If we use the gifts God designed us with and the gifts the Holy Spirit develops in us for others, it's going to bring glory back to God. That's what Peter tells us. He says, when we use the gifts God has given each one of us to use to serve each other and to serve those around us, it's going to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. So serving others brings glory back to God. And that's powerful. We get to be a blessing to others. We start a spiritual cycle of sowing and reaping that attracts blessings back into our lives. And in the process, God is getting the glory. The name of Jesus is becoming famous. Why? Because I decided to follow what the Word said about serving others. I decided to follow what the Word said and bless someone else, to sow that blessing, sow that service into someone else, so that in return now a harvest comes back into my life. People begin to see this spiritual activation. Glory is coming to God. The name of Jesus is being made known. Use the gifts God gave you to benefit someone else. Use the gift to be a blessing to others. When you use the gift God gave you to bless others, you're sowing a blessing. You'll be reaping a blessing. And God's glory will become on full display in and around your life. And the work of Jesus becomes evident. So the end product of your serving is this: Jesus' name being known. The Bible says, in the end, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. How does that happen? That happens by our good works. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. And as we're doing these good works, glorifying the Father. Good works, it's glorifying the Father. Good works, the earth becomes full of this, where people are seeing that everywhere I look, somebody's serving. Everywhere I look, I see somebody that's Christian, or they've been inspired by a Christian, and now they're blessing others. And now the earth is becoming full of goodness, of the glory of God. What a powerful thought. My heart is this: I would love to see us sow some really powerful seeds and reap even greater harvest. This thing of sowing and reaping, it's a universal spiritual truth. Yeah.
We talked about how it works financially with Jamaica. We're talking about how it works with serving. We're talking about how it works when we bless individuals. It's powerful. My heart is that we sow the right seeds. The seeds of sowing others with our God-given gifts. Not making excuses for why we can't serve. Not making excuses for the value of what we might have to offer. But we're sowing intentional seeds of serving with our God-given gifts. When we sow service, we reap a harvest of being served. When we create a culture, a kingdom culture of serving one another. Isn't that powerful? We can shift the culture of our church. I believe we can shift the culture of our city from taking to giving, from demanding to serving. What if we could put God's glory on full display in our city through how we serve each other and how we serve others? Peter's challenge is this: use your gifts to serve others. Jesus told us, if you want to be great, learn how to serve. Sometimes we get afraid of this because we say, well, if I serve, I'm kind of putting myself last. But Jesus told us, here is this key truth: the last will be first. And the person that tries to put themselves first, in the end, is going to be last. So don't be afraid to be last. Don't be afraid to serve. Jesus modeled it. He took off his fancy robe. He put on the towel of a servant and he served his disciples and said, look, I want you to do the same thing. Do exactly what I've modeled for you. When I serve, I put myself last. But God makes me first. When I serve, God elevates me into leadership opportunities. Leader equals servant. To truly lead is to truly learn to serve well. Let's pray together. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here. I thank you, Lord, that you're challenging us in different faith areas. Today, you're challenging us to serve others, to serve with love, to serve with generosity, to serve with our gifts, to serve in creative ways that you show us. Because it's a blessing to serve. And when we sow serving, we reap serving. When we sow blessing, we reap blessing. God, we want to sow the right things so that it will bring you glory. So that the name of Jesus will be made known through our good works. God, challenge us throughout the week to see unique opportunities that we can serve others. God, let this be on the forefront of our mind. How can I serve? How can I be of service? What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful culture shift. Let us see from that perspective. Let us see from the lens of serving others. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my faith walk. I've kind of drifted from Jesus, but I want to reconnect with him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I'd love to pray with you today right where you are. Amen. Amen. There's something so powerful about reconnecting with God. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really connected with Jesus in that way. I've been in religious environments. I've been at a church or I've been around religious people, but I've never said yes to Jesus for myself. If that's you and say, I've decided I want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to live my life for Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen. The best decisions that we can make is the decision to say yes to Jesus. To say, yes, Jesus, I am returning to you. If you lifted your hand, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross to wipe out my sins and to give me a fresh start. I'm sorry for the times I've drifted, the times I've sinned. Give me a new start today. Give me your free gift of forgiveness and help me live a life that pleases the Father. Help me live a life that follows your commands. Jesus, I want you to lead and I'll follow. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.